Folks, once again, as God touches our life, He touches our life with a new life. Folks, as God sends His children, God also sends those who will nurture that child. Not all obey God. There are so many evils within our generation that it is very, very difficult for you and I to understand how vile the human race truly is. There are people out there, folks, that fear neither God nor man. That's according to God's word. And we are told, from such turn away. Be careful. You need, and I must always, there's a book that is given to us. It's called the Holy Bible. It is a game plan book for your life and my life. Within the pages of that book called the Bible, you will find multitudes of stories focusing on your own life. See, that's the most exciting book that's ever been given to us. Because you see, there's power in the pages of the Holy Bible. It's not just the Word of God. It's the breath of God. The Bible is who God is. And the Bible gives us the story of your life and my life. I have found over the years that even, let's just go back to 12 disciples. Jesus said one was the devil from the beginning, was Judas Iscariot. And you and I can look at just those 12. And we can see parts of ourselves in those 12. They did not believe that Jesus was really going to come and capture the heart and soul of man. They wanted him to defeat the Roman Empire. Jesus said, "This is not my kingdom." And through that whole 3 years or so that his disciples followed him, they still had a hard time figuring out who Jesus really was. And they got afraid. They certainly got afraid as they was watching our Lord ascend into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. You see, they had the word of Christ in their heart, but they didn't read their heart. They read the personalities around them. And when you see so many that have chosen the world as a god, it is very difficult to stand the ground that Christ has won within your heart and my heart. We are individuals, folks, born by the blood of Christ. Individuals, for individual purposes. God says, "I have a special plan for you. Nobody else has this plan that I have for you." We do not have any idea of how many human beings have ever existed. We don't know that. Gosh, folks, we don't even know in the United States of America who's citizens and who's not. We certainly don't know either when it comes to the kingdom of God, who's a citizen and who's not. Has nothing to do with me when I was chaplain and wore the chaplain crosses on my collar. I didn't prove that I was a Christian. And actually, let me tell you something. I wore those crosses for one purpose. Every time I would stand in the mirror, I would see them. Because as human beings, folks, we can stray off the path, and we do continually. So the crosses on my collar were as much for me as they were to distinguish who I was in a prison system. Life has given to you and me the truth of everlasting life. It is by faith It is by a faith that I know that Jesus is who he says he is. It is by faith that I realize that he is within my heart. It is by faith that I understand God is in total control. And it is by faith that I understand that through my weaknesses, God's strength will be seen. And Paul said, oh, it's much better that I go to be with my Lord. But then he looked at his family. And he said, but it's better for you that I stay a while. I'll go later. You see, you and I, as Christians, have a message to give to a lost and dying world. It is a message of love. But you cannot go against God's holy word and express love. For when you go against God's holy word, you express doubt. Therefore, as we as parents, and I'm focusing on what it means to follow Jesus, it means that you and I must be parents of faith. You cannot watch your children. You can barely keep up with them at home, much less when they become of age where they're out in a vehicle and into the world. You cannot keep up with them. Now, folks, let me tell you something. I know all the new gadgets are out, and they're pretty cool. I love that kind of stuff. Even though I'm not smart enough to figure the majority of them out. I love it. If nothing else, I like the blinking lights. You know, just give me something that blinks. It doesn't have to know anything. Just sit there and blink. It makes me happy. But as the Lord looks in your life, in my life, he says, you're not going to make it without me. You cannot make it through this life into the kingdom of God without the faith that I'm ready and willing to give you. Faith is a gift from God. Faith is a gift that God will give to all of those who say, yes, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. When I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, and when I was called into the ministry, I did not understand anything that I was doing. But I do know that I did it. I do know that the Lord saved me at around 8 years old or so. Even all of that's a blur now. And I do know that God has called me to preach. But you see, to know Christ and to hear his word for each of us and not follow Christ and follow his word, to us, that is sin. So God says, I want you to be parents of faith. Why? Hebrews 11 verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Do children not want to please their parents? Parents that get out into a life of drug and out into the world, and children follow them. Why? They want to please their parents. They want to please their parents in their cursing, in the actions of drug taking and everything else. They want peace. And the only way they can find that peace at their home is to agree with wayward parents. Therefore, the judgment concerning those kids is sifted through God's sifter of law and order and holiness and grace. You and I do not know where the individual of home life, an individual that comes up to you, a stranger on the street, you don't know their home life. You don't know what goes on behind those closed doors as to why a child will act the way that they act. But I can tell you, after dealing with those families for 30-some years, for many children is hell. Home is not a place of safety, but a place where they learn a vocabulary that is not fit to come from the mouth of anyone. It's where they learn the habits of life. Christianity can never be a habit. Christianity must be a way of life. How can I do that? Only by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And for all of those who said, look, I'm not interested in the rewards, listen to me. You should be, because that's what you lay at the feet of Christ when you enter the gates of heaven. All of the blessings that God has given you in that crown we talk about, they are taken off and laid at the feet of Jesus. Because all of those good things, all of the good times, were gifts from Him. Not from our own making. We can gather all the wealth in the world. What good is it if it does not have the blessing from God? What good is a life of breathing if there's no hope for the one who is breathing? How many do we meet time and time again that ask that death will quicken and come sooner because of pain, because of brokenness within the spirit? And yet God sees every spirit. God feels every pain that I've ever had or ever shall. And His Son still preaches to me and you and lets us know He went to the cross for that pain. Therefore, the pain physical you and I feel, it's a blessed pain. Now, we don't want to call it that, because we sound like that we are a little off. Thank you, God, for hurting so bad. It is not the thanking Him for the hurting. It's thanking Him for the hurting for within your hurt, whether it's heart or whether it's physical, God is watching. For in the pain within your heart, in the brokenness of your life, it is Christ who is there. And if I do not recognize my life is broken, would I recognize the Christ who's offered to heal me? Would I recognize the Christ who's offered to give me comfort if I didn't feel uncomfortable? If everything was just great in the land, I hear that today. We know that we must make everything right throughout the land. Then we will follow God. Where was God when all the evil took place? Same place He has always been. In me. Beside me. Helping me. You know what the sadness is of life? Not recognizing that Christ is in every portion, every action within our life. Therefore, if I'm in that situation, praise God, because through His hand, we will succeed in our calling. Don't you ever think that God will not give you the strength to follow through with your calling. He will. But He also gives us the freedom. Oh, this is hard for us to understand. He gives us the freedom even after He saved us, not to follow Him. But He will not give us the peace that we look for outside His will. Won't happen. Oh, but if it's great, we'll do right. You remember a place called the Garden of Eden? I mean, gosh, folks, that's a place of pure love of God. Says here is your place on earth, perfected. And what did man do? Sin. Went against God's love. Is it not the same thing today? Parents of faith. Number one, It is believing when you don't see it. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Promise of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. Faith is trusting God. Faith is knowing that it's all going to work out. I listen to people often who say a person that lived that kind of life, one thing's for sure, they'll never enter heaven. You better hope they can. Because if they can't, you can't either. Nor can I. Because, see, sin is sin. God does not accept. In one place, when it is throughout the scripture, but in one area of your life, Jesus steps forward and says, you do this, here's your punishment. So bad, you cannot even imagine it. And that is messing with a child, harming a child, born or unborn. God said it'd be better for you that a rock was tied around your neck and you drowned to the depth of the sea than to have harmed one of the least of these. Jesus said that. So, is there hope? Sure. Hope where? In the heart of the very one who issued that decree. Because you see, God said, whosoever will, let him come. And whoever comes, I will in no wise turn away. So therefore, he says, I will forgive even the worst of the worst of the worst. When they come to me, I am there to give forgiveness. But they must come. And they must come on their own free will. They must come under conviction that only the Holy Spirit will give. They must come. Number two, parents of faith mean that they're obeying when you don't understand it. Well, folks, let me tell you. When people say, when will I get to the point, and I'm talking about each of us as Christians, to where I truly understand the scripture? Well, you'll never get to that point. Because I found that in a verse, if I were to read one verse to you today, and then ask for each one to comment on it, that verse is so powerful because it is the word of God that each one would give me a different answer. Because it's what that means to you for your individual life. He is an individual Savior, is he not? And that individual Savior puts us together. This is his plan. He puts us together and he says, parents, you raise your children in the love of the Lord. Well, now, Lord, I want my children to make up their own mind as to whether they want to go to church or not. Have you ever gotten your children's mind? Have you ever noticed we ourselves as adults want to play in the world? Have we ever noticed how difficult it is and how painful in life when we watch our children out in the world and we realize we did not tell them any difference in the way they're acting because we just didn't want the hassle? Oh, look, my child, they're this rebellious, and if I say anything, they're going to rebel more. How do you know? Why don't you say it? Why don't you get on your knees and you pray to God that the Holy Spirit will convict them? Do we not get on our knees and ask for God's favor on behalf of our children, our grandchildren, those we love, God's favor in prayer? Lord, I cannot protect them. You never could. I never could. I cannot protect my family. I cannot protect my son who's a police officer. I cannot protect my grandson, my wife. Because I'm not there with them continually. But I know the one who is. Does it not break our heart when we see our own nation crumbling as a society? Two police officers slaughtered this morning in Mississippi, left on the road to die. And they did. That's the society in which we live. Those who every day put on their uniform. Let me tell you something, parents. You and I need to get our uniform, parent uniform on. We need, as parents, to stand up for the very word of God that will protect our children instead of saying, "Oh, honey, you don't need to do this. That's fine. I understand. I was made to go to church all my life, and I promised I never would." And you're right. It probably didn't do you any good either. But here's the fact. I will bring my children, and I have. They will come to the house of the Lord when they're under the realm of my house. But then you pray and you ask God to give them that spirit. Can I place that spirit in them? No. But they can watch me. Not just in the pulpit, at home, in life. Do we cheat in front of them by stealing something? Oh, folks, one of the worst things I witnessed within the society of the day are parents bringing their children into a store and having the children steal, knowing they're not going to do anything to the children. It's a sick society. But so is every society since the beginning of time. We are a society that pushes the love of God out, and a society that yells from the top of the mountain, "There is no God." It would be better for them if there were no God. But there is. God is love. But do you know that God doesn't force his love on anyone? Do you ever try to make someone love you? It does about as much good to try to make them love you as it does to make them do what you've asked them to do. It's the world. It was by faith, Hebrews 11:7. It was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. You know, if you'll ever read in the book of Job, you remember when he lost his seven sons and three daughters in a tragic situation? His friends would have found Job was in prayer one day, and they was talking to him about prayer, and the scripture says that Job said, "I was praying for my children that," let me do a transliteration here, "that I was praying for my children that they not be so stupid, and that God to have mercy on them in their foolishness." That's what Job was praying for. And do you know that group of children were destroyed or they died? Job prayed for them. Later we see in the story that after Job had lost everything, Job, was given twice as much of things that he had ever had, to include servants and all. But only God replaced seven daughters and three sons. Because the first seven daughters and three sons were not dead. He didn't need to double that part because they were with their father. It is a peace that God gives us. And in Noah's situation, he obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before. Now, you want to know about Noah's faith? It took him 120 years to build the ark, and saying that the rains were going to come, the storm was going to come, and there had never been rain or storms since the beginning of time. They did not exist. So here this crazy man, Noah, is building a big boat and saying the rains are going to come from the heaven. Can you imagine how foolish he sounded to the community? Well, when the rains did come and the floods began, guess who came knocking at Noah's door in the ark? But you know what God said? And God shut the door. That was on the ark. You all see it on shows as Noah, you know, pulling this or that to shut the door. It's not scriptural. And the new Noah movie is not scriptural. But here's one thing you do know, that the scripture says, and God shut the door. Okay, let me tell you what that meant. God shut the door, and Noah, even with the mercy he would want to have on those who were out there, even he could not open the door to let them in. Once God has shut the door is shut. That's why he says today is the day of salvation. Don't put off salvation. For at some point within our life, within this world, God's going to shut the door, folks. God's going to say, the time has come. The end, the beginning of the end is here. Number three, parents, be persistent. When you don't feel like it. And I'm talking about persistent in your faith of who God is. When you hurt so bad and you start questioning God, when your heart is so broken, you think there is no hope for you or your family. Be persistent in your prayers to God. Hebrews 11:27. It was by faith that Moses left Egypt. And listen to this. And was not afraid of the king's anger. He held to his purpose like a man who could see the invisible. Do we not understand that the Spirit of God cannot be seen? No man has ever looked upon God and lived. And God says, I must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And God says, I am love. The ultimate love. If you cannot allow your spirit to fill me, then I will not make you be filled by my spirit. I will bring you under conviction. That's what the Holy Spirit does to us. And offer you opportunity, 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 opportunity. But the Lord also warns, I will not strive with man forever. Sometime, God is going to shut the door. Which side of that door are we going to be on? Don't blame God because we weren't given the opportunity. Parents, do you speak more about hell and the world within your home than you do about the love of Christ? Preacher, you just don't understand. You're right. I don't understand myself. But the biggest lack of understanding that I have within my heart is I don't understand why God loves me like he does. I don't understand that kind of love. Have you ever got up of some mornings and not only do you not love you, you don't even like you. You'll have somebody else stand in a mirror, in front of the mirror, so you can see their reflection. You're so mad at yourself. Now, that's really being mad at yourself. But you see, you and I, in this life, we have been given everything we have. The Lord offered us, I will give to you this. But he lets us know something. Don't you be giving your heart to me for the this. We give our heart to Christ because we realize that the real us in here is not living right, is not loving right, is not doing right. And yet God still loves us, and God still gives us mothers and fathers, communities, and families. And the last one is trusting if you don't get it. I don't get it. I do know what the Bible says about there'd never be any such thing as death for the Christian. I know that. I mean, I can get that, meaning because I'm not tied to this body. The Lord says you are a spirit. I'm a spirit that has a body. My spirit is the real me, not this body. And when this body has completely collapsed and fallen, I will still exist with you, all believers in who Jesus is. Now, let me tell you, when that bell rings for supper, it'll be the greatest supper you ever had. And I'm always, my mind goes back to the country parson. Had an article in the paper all the time. Even, gosh, when I was in the world, I read the country parson. And I remember one that said, heaven is a place where you meet a lot of people that are just as surprised to see you there as you are to see them. And I believe that. You see, that's a gift from God. Hebrews 11:39 through 40. They are all commended for their faith. He's trusting in all the prophets of old. If you read Hebrews, you will see what is called roll call of the saints. You will see all of these saints listed. The roll call of the saints. And then you will hear at the end of this, of the roll call of the saints. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. But they had the faith in the promise. God had planned something better. I don't know why I left the last two words out. God had planned something better for us. You see, folks, it is the totality of the Word of God, Old Testament into the New. The full Word of God. We, of all generations, hear it well. According to Scripture, we, of all the generation, we, the church age, the newest of the ages, just a couple of thousand years old, the church age is the age of grace. Aren't we thankful? I mean, we have the grace of God in us, who we really are. What do we do with it? Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. What am I going to do with it? Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Next time you get ready to give your child a tongue lashing, try the Word of God. You should correct your children. You know when it becomes child abuse? Let me tell you. It becomes child abuse at the point it hurts the child more than it hurts you. When you punish a child, your heart should sink. Your heart should be on fire with the love of Christ, because you're going to hurt worse than your child is. But when you're so angry, you lose your temper, you let it go, that's sin before God. For punishment that will work is punishment given through love, given to us through our Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We praise your name for another opportunity to even proclaim your word or to be in the presence of your children. I pray now, Father, that as you touch our life, that you will give us the strength, give us the mercy, give us, Father, the blessings of life, to the point that we can truly stand for you in all that we do. I ask your blessing now, Father. upon each family, each parent. Father, you know the world. You've witnessed generation after generation of the same type of generation we're living in today. Have mercy on us, Father. Give us strength to follow you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.